Father, bless these words to our heart. Anoint our ears to hear. Father, give us a rich portion from your throne, Lord. Speak to our hearts, God. In Jesus' name. You don't have to turn there. We're only going to be there just very briefly. But the Word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 1 that Solomon, I'll read the verse to you, and Solomon made an alliance by marriage with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. And then in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 13, then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Bethshemesh. And he went to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. Israel had a wall around it, Israel, Jerusalem, where Israel lived, Judah, Israel, in Solomon's day, Israel. And it had a wall, and it was a huge wall. It was a big city. And they built the wall, except there was something wrong with their wall. See, Solomon built it, but there was something wrong with it. And because there was something wrong with it, later, the wall came down. There was a hole put in it. And then when Babylon took Israel and Judah, the wall was utterly destroyed. And not until Nehemiah returned was the wall rebuilt. And this is a picture of what happens to the believer. Every person has a wall. And the experiences and the decisions we make and the things that we do, the things that we think, they will build a wall around us. The problem with Solomon's wall was this, that Solomon built the wall as he was making an alliance with the king of Egypt through foreign women. And so there was corruption in the wall. You see, Israel was commanded not to marry foreign women, to only marry women from within Israel. But Solomon the king did not obey this. And so when he built the wall, there was a certain amount of corruption in the wall of Solomon. Now Solomon's own wall crashed. Because he married a lot of women and he had many concubines, thousands of concubines. And this is a man who went into profound ungodliness. Even though at one point he was the wisest man who had ever lived, he had abandoned that wisdom for the sake of the flesh. And this is a corrupt element within our wall, if there is flesh. Now, before a person gets saved, they have a wall. And they build it up, and things that they put into it are thoughts and ways of the world, lust patterns, ambitions, different things of worldly component. And they put these things into their wall. The problem is that their wall won't hold. And as soon as something comes against them, they go into a trial and their wall stops holding. They get all upset. Or they get in a bad way. They get a divorce. They get, you know, something, financial trouble. This is a big one, financial trouble. And all of a sudden, they have something that's troubling them from outside, but yet from within, the wall is falling. And this is the wall that was built and had no good structure. In the New Jerusalem, there will be a wall also. In Revelation, the Word of God says that it has 12 foundations, the wall in Jerusalem, and these are the apostles. Why? Because it was the apostles who gave birth to the Christian church. It had a good foundation. The thing about the believer is we need to have the right wall. We need to have the right wall. If we don't have the right wall, we will not have the right life. And the reason why we will not have the right life is because there will be nothing in us to protect from the outside. Now, in Song of Solomon chapter 8, turn there please. Song of Solomon is an amazing love song. And it is a picture of the church and the Savior and the love that is between the two. And in chapter 8, starting in verse 8, the Word of God says, "We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. And what shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor." The word palace there is an encampment or battlement. This is a picture of a believer who has the wrong wall. The little sister had no breasts. What does that mean? The one who was speaking did have breasts, and they were like strong towers. And in Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 5, "Thy two breasts are two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies." And the two breasts that it is speaking of there are faith and love. The little sister did not know faith, and the little sister did not know love. She had the wrong wall. And so they said, if she be a wall, then we will build a strong embattlement, a strong encampment around her. And this is what a believer means. The one who was speaking had very strong towers, and her breasts were faith and love. And why do they call them breasts? Because they are that which nourish. They are that from which life is given. And so what the older one had was that older one knew faith, because the older one was well rooted and established in the Word of God, and the older one knew love, because the older one knew the character of the Savior. And when the older one had received the character of the Savior, she began to be able to nourish any that were young. She had breasts that were like strong towers. And in that nourishment, she was also able to protect and to build in another person. The little sister was speaking in this passage of the Gentile church. They were Israel's little sister. And they did not know faith, and they did not know love. It is also talking about the believer who has the wrong wall. It is talking about the believer who has built the wrong structures in their life. It is talking about the believer who has not made right decisions, either because of a lack of opportunity as a young believer, or perhaps because it is a lack of taking opportunity. A lack of doctrine, and so they did not have strong walls. So if she be a wall, we will build on her. In Song of Solomon 2 verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. See, this is the bride when she was young. when she did not know the Beloved yet. He was distant from her because there was a wall between them. She was not with him. But by Song of Solomon chapter 8, she was in there with him. She was in the wall, and she had healthy breasts of faith and love that could nourish and build and bring life. Now, the thing that every believer needs very desperately is to get rid of the old wall. We've got to get rid of the old wall. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, the Word of God says, "And the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." See, this is what we need. Israel was told to go around the wall 7 times over 7 days. And 7 is God's number. And they were told to go 7 times. And on the 7th time, when they went around, they were to shout with a great shout, and the priests were to blow the trumpets. And this means that they walked with God in fullness, with no reservation, in complete faith, not having sight, but in faith responding to God. And then the priests gave a certain sound. And when the priests gave a certain sound, the people became able to shout grace, grace unto the mountains. And when they could shout grace, grace unto the mountain, in other words, when a situation in their life could come up and they could simply shout grace to the situation and the situation dissolves, then the wall came down. See, this is the picture of the believer who overcomes and who learns to overcome. This is a picture of the believer who has taken up a cross. See, it is only through the cross that my old walls can come down. If I do not pick up a cross in my life, then I will have a wall, but it will be the wrong wall. It'll be the old wall. It'll be the wall that the world has given me. It'll be the wall that natural reasoning has given me. It'll be the wall that my naturally thinking family may have given me if I do not have a spiritual family. It will be the wall of wrong decisions. It will be the wall of worldly thinking. This wall needs to come down. Only the cross, a faith response to God and picking up the cross through the priest giving a certain sound. There's something extremely important about walls. If you have a pastor who doesn't give a certain sound, your wall will not come down. In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "But even because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar, saying unto them which daub," and to daub it means to overlay it, "saying unto them which daub it with untempered mortar." Untempered there, by the way, in the original language means foolish, stupid, and whitewashed. So with stupid, foolish, whitewashed mortar, they cover their wall. And these are the priests that are doing it. And the Word of God says, "That it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said to you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it?" You know what this is? This is a person. This is what happens if there is no certain sound. If there is no certain sound coming from a pulpit, if there is not a strong pulpit with strong doctrine, with full counsel, Word of God, finished with grace of God being preached, like the way that Pastor Stevens used to put it, Word of God preaching grace-loving, sin-hating pastors. If that is not what is in the pulpit, then there is not a certain sound. And if there is not a certain sound, then people overlay it with stupidity and foolishness, and it's a whitewashed wall that has no untempered mortar. Untempered mortar is that stupidity. What is tempered mortar? Tempered mortar is that which is laid by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit building a wall within the believer's heart. I need the proper wall built, and the proper wall will be built when the old wall comes down, and the old wall will come down when the cross is worked in through a certain sound, when the trumpet is blown by the priest. I respond in faith obedience to God. I respond in faith to God's Word. I walk with Him by faith, but I may not have a certain sound. So I have an idea, a vague concept, and I trust God vaguely, but I don't trust Him specifically. And because I haven't been taught to trust God specifically, because no specific faith has been developed in my soul, because there was no specific doctrine given, so there is no specific cross worked into my heart, I have a poor wall, and it will come down. And then when it comes down, you say, where is the stupidity that you have built with? Where is the foolishness? Where is the legalism? Where is the watered down gospel so that it can tantalize the ears of the unbelieving, so that you can have your large number but no cross? Where is it now when the wall has come down? No, that's not a good wall. That's not a good wall. We need a wall that is built by the Holy Spirit of God using the Word of God in our hearts. I think what happens to some believers is they try to keep their old wall. Some believers try to keep the wall they had before they were saved. They keep the same mindset. They just clean it up a little bit. They polish it off. They keep the same mindset, but they don't have the Holy Spirit controlling their thoughts. What's controlling their thoughts? Their own natural reason. The flesh is controlling their thoughts. Their emotions are controlling their thoughts. And what they will do is they will keep the same wall, and within that wall they try to build a new city. It's like taking the walls of Jericho and standing them back up after you've destroyed the city inside. And so you've destroyed the city inside, you stand the old walls back up, and you try to build a new city in that. You know what that is? That's a carnal believer who pursues the Word of God apart from the cross. And you know how that manifests itself? Me. It's always me. For example, doctrine is given, and I look, oh, you should have toward me. Right? This person didn't follow that doctrine toward me. That's an old wall with an attempt at a new city. I gotta get me out of the picture. Because me produces a bad wall. Another one, how am I going to produce that? Oh, I will produce that in this way. Old wall, new city. See, if there's an old wall, then the new city is absolutely meaningless because it's going to be taken. You see, the problem is when Israel had a corrupt wall, when Solomon built a corrupt wall, the wall was taken down. And the entire city inside was destroyed when Babylon came to destroy them. I need the right wall. I need the cross to take down my old wall. I need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to build up a new wall. And only when that old wall and the old city is destroyed, that is within my frame of reference, that is within my heart, only then will I have of the richness of what it means to have a life with God. Only then will I experience the fullness of the abundant life that Christ came to give in John chapter 10. I need a new wall and a new city. You know what it's like? It's like Luke chapter 5 and verse 37 and 38. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But the new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. That new wine is a picture of the finished work application of mercy by the Holy Spirit into the heart. The finished work in the heart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in and He indwells a believer and He starts implementing the finished work to the believer. New wine in a new bottle. A new creation containing a new wine. But if I have the old wall, if I have the old paths of thinking, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me because I am saved. But it will burst the bottle because it's a new wine in an old bottle. A new city in an old wall will not hold. It can't stand. It'll burst. It'll break. It'll come down. And for certain, you can be sure that it will be taken. No, I need that wall. I need that wall. It is so important for my thinking, my frame of reference to be changed by the Word of God. I cannot have natural thinking. If I try to have natural thinking, there are holes in my wall. And you can be certain that if there's a hole in the wall, the enemy will get in. Believers try to preserve areas of their life, and it may not necessarily be sin. It may be that little area of self-preservation where I want things my way. And if God brings in a plan that is contrary to my way, my emotions will constantly be kicking against the pricks because I'm actually fighting God in that which God is doing. It may be that I want to preserve that little bit of a lust pattern where nobody knows about it except me, that still tantalizes, and in the back of my mind and in the privacy of my thoughts, I maintain this little unclean thing going on. It may be that I have an ambition or a desire apart from God, and I still want that desire, and it's an idol in my life, and I pursue it, and although I try to have a God as a good part of my life, if it came right down to it, I would walk away from the call or seriously be challenged in it anyway, because there was a desire apart from the desire of God. So holes in my wall. In Ezekiel 8, starting in verse 7, the Word of God says, "And He brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And it was a door in the court." It was already in the tabernacle, but there was a hole in the court where the people were in the court, and there was a hole there. "And He said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall, and when I had digged the wall, behold, a door." He went to the hole, and he digged in the wall, and the hole turned into a door. "And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold every form of creeping thing, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." You see, this is the believer who has those little areas of preservation, where self is not dealt with, where the cross is not picked up, where I am still the issue, as opposed to God taking control and becoming my life. I don't need anybody's or anything's provision that is from the world. I don't need it. Why? Because God is my portion. In Psalm 73, God is my portion. I don't need anything from anybody. I don't need anything from the world. I don't need anything from Satan's crowd. I don't need any natural provision because God is my portion. If I try to hold out, if I long in my heart for something that is apart from God, then I have a hole in the wall and inside there is an idol. And it will become a door. That hole becomes a door and I can pass through that door, and this is how I fail as a believer. This is how I backslide into a place where I can become just like an unbeliever. This is how believers can get to the place where they have no life with God. They have a life of the flesh and God is an acknowledgement. Because their hole in the wall has become a door and they have passed through it. And inside are all sorts of abominations, all sorts of creeping things. This is a sin in people's lives. All sorts of abominable beasts. This is demonic activity in people's lives. The idols that they have are strewn across their wall. And their idols now cover that wall. Oh, it is the wall from the other side. You see one side of the wall, but they see the other side. And so does God. God knows what's on the other side of my wall. You see, this was the Pharisee, right? A whitewashed sepulcher. Oh, he had a good-looking wall on the outside, but on the inside it was death. It was vile and wicked on the inside. I need the right wall. I need the right wall. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30, the Word of God says, "And I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down." There was no understanding. There was no application of the Word of God. There was no illumination of the Holy Spirit. He was not dutiful, this person. They didn't study to show themselves approved. This person simply was slothful in their arrogant attitude towards God. And there was no wall. It was broken down. Everything could come in. Hey, I gotta be open-minded, don't you know? Gotta think and evaluate. I gotta be open-minded. Gotta be open to new ideas and new suggestions. You know, times are changing. Gotta be open to the changes of the world. After all, we've gotta change with the times. Excuse me, my Bible says that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't think He's changing with your times. I don't think He even lives in time. I think your time's going to come to an end like a vapor, and then you're going to be standing in eternity and you're going to realize that nothing has changed except your mind. No, I don't need to change with the times. I need to be diligent before God and have a good wall. I need to have a wall that is built by the Holy Spirit that has a new city inside, a new Jerusalem inside of my heart. Did you know the new Jerusalem is not just the place you will reside in the future in eternity? The new Jerusalem resides in you. And you can reside within your own heart in the new Jerusalem now. How? Because you've built a wall that has 12 foundations. And inside it is the city of God. And that city of God is my home, and I can be home right this moment. And even though my feet are on the earth, I am seated above in heavenly places in Christ. Because I am living in the New Jerusalem now, because it is the city that was built inside a wall that has 12 foundations in that city. And the builder and maker is God. And I reside there, I have a place there, I have a mansion, and I am very wealthy there. Because it is my home, and it's the proper structure within the wall. It's a proper wall and a proper structure. It was built by doctrine, and the Holy Spirit's working in my heart, and the love of God being shed abroad in my heart, and a faith response and faith obedience with humility and worship and praise of the Lord. And He's occupying those praises, and He lives there with me as my groom. I have a sweet intimacy with my Savior that I cannot even have with another person, because I cannot really truly be one. Not in my heart and my spirit. And we may have one heart, and we may have one mind, and we may have one body, but we cannot be united as to who we actually are. But we are inhaled as a sweet savor by God. And as a wall with a living city inside of it. And I live there now because it is in my heart. In Amos chapter 7, starting in verse 7, the Word of God says, "Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, A plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more, and the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." What is the sword? The sword is the plumb line. A plumb line builds a straight wall. And make sure that it's vertical and right. And make sure that it is fast and it is true. It's a straight wall. And the Lord holds a straight wall. And He gives a plumb line. And the plumb line is the Word of God. And when that Word of God is not present, then God will take the Word of God as a sword, and He will come against Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the king who was a general, who separated Israel 10.5 tribes away from Judah. And it was Jeroboam that determined that Israel would be taken into Babylon. You see, he didn't have the right wall. It wasn't straight and it wasn't true. But he had the wrong plumb line. He had the wrong structure. It wasn't a good structure. It wasn't a good wall. And God destroyed it with His Word. If I have a bad wall in my heart, I need God to destroy it with His Word. You see, Israel returned from captivity, and they built a better wall. In Nehemiah 4:17, "They which built on the wall, they had more burdens with those that laid it. Every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." He built with the Word, and he fought with the Word. And he labored in the Word of God, and he built a wall. And apart from laboring, apart from having, like building with one hand and a sword in the other, I cannot build a good wall. Why? Because the enemy will come, and he will try to corrupt my wall, and he will attack when the wall is being built, and he will try to lure me away, and he will say, "Come over here, isn't this a better place? Do this. You know, wouldn't you really like this in your life? Wouldn't you really like, you know what it nowadays, right? Wouldn't you really like an ungodly relationship in your life?" And he won't call it ungodly, he'll call it reasonable. And after all, you're young, or after all, you don't want to be alone, or after all, you're old. And you definitely don't want to be alone. Wouldn't you like to trade your wall? I need a sword in my hand when the enemy comes in. I need to deal with him with my sword. And I say, God has said. And I say, God has said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." God has said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and all your desires will be given unto you." God has said, I have a sword in one hand and I build in another. And I labor and I bear my burden. What is the burden? The burden is the walk that I have before God. When He tests me, He tests me, and I bear that testing. And when He gives me times of prosperity, that is also a burden. And I bear that burden also. And in all the things that He sends my way, I develop into a godly character, so His image is made in me by bearing a godly burden. Oh, it's not a burden that is heavy. It's not a burden that is difficult. It is a burden where I bear a yoke that is made for two, and the other one carrying it is my Savior. And so as I walk through the different things in my life, my Savior is there with me, and I bear the burden that He is bearing for me. In Ezekiel chapter 14, what happens when I have the wall? But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the very thing that looked so threatening, the very thing that I thought I could not overcome, the very thing I thought would bring me to death, becomes a wall. Why? Because it teaches me how to respond to God in faith, and to walk in faith obedience, and to follow Him by simply trusting Him. And I put my foot on top of the water, but the water parts before my foot can get to it, and I step on dry ground. And these experiences in my life become a wall, where the water that was going to consume me is now a wall to me, and it is my very protection, and it is the destruction of my enemy. That wall was built by bearing the right burden. And Hezekiah turned his face in Isaiah 38:2 to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. And I turned to the Lord, and I turned to the wall, and I turned to the Word of God, and the Word of God, what it produces in me, and the Holy Spirit's quickening, and I pray, and I have a rich fellowship and a rich relationship and a rich union with my Savior. You see, I'm not so interested in having a relationship with my Savior. I want a union with Him. I want to be one with my Savior. In Genesis 49, when I have a wall, I start to have fruit. And when I have fruit, I enter into this Genesis 49 principle in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. And the bough there means simply son. Joseph is a fruitful son. Even a fruitful son by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And all of a sudden, the fruit of my life, all of a sudden the production of my life, the leading of my life, everything that I put my hand into, all of a sudden it goes over the wall. And the wall is covered with fruit. And soon you can't even see. You can't even see the wall. All you see is fruit. But behind this fruit is a very strong and healthy wall. And he is like a young son who is by the water. He's got good nourishment. He's got good Word of God. And the fruit covers his wall. Eventually my fruit and my wall become the same thing. And you can't distinguish the one from the other, because it is all the Holy Spirit and the love of God shed abroad in the heart. And it becomes a wall, and the wall is covered with fruit. And you know why it has to go over the wall? Because the love of God is shed abroad into my heart from God, and from my heart unto you. So it has to go over the wall, and the fruit is produced, and others come and feed. Others come and feed. What happens with that? Then I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. They are healthy and large, and they sustain and give nourishment. And other people can come, and all of a sudden they can feed from the love and the faith and the mercy and the grace and the Word of God that is imparted to a believer, and they sustain their life on from that which overflows from another believer, because they are simply young babes and they do not know how to walk yet with the Lord. They do not have a closeness to the Savior, but they can see you, and you can nourish them. And this is what it means that their breasts are like strong towers. They sustain and they give life. In 1 Samuel 25, we become a wall to other people. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. And when we were in the fields, They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. You see, the believer becomes a wall for another person. I have a healthy wall, and the fruit is overflowing, and it is life-giving, and it is sustaining, and there is love, and there is faith, and it's pouring out of me, and there are faith fields built, and those faith fields cover other people, and I have a shield of faith, and that faith can cover another believer because it's a shield for two. And all of a sudden, I can sustain that person's life. You see, this is the new believer. The one who's learning to have a relationship with God. The one who's learning who the Savior is. They are sustained by another wall. That other wall is a wall unto them. And they can feed there, and they can grow there, and they can rest there. And in the nighttime or in the daytime, in the trials or in the easy times, they have a resting place, and they are well protected in the wall of their friend. And that person is a covering to them. They are a wall of protection. In Jeremiah 15:20, "And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall." In Ezekiel 41, the Word of God describes the wall within the tabernacle. "Then went he inward and measured the post of the door 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door, which is the width of the wall, 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits, before the temple, and he said unto me, This is the most holy place." This is the most holy place. The doorpost was 2 cubits. The doorpost was 2 cubits. The door was 6 cubits. And the wall that it was a door in was 7 cubits. And this is a beautiful picture of how the wall is built. This is a beautiful picture of our lives. See, 2 is the number of separation. 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of God. Man separated unto God. This is the wall. Man separated unto God. And when man becomes separated unto God, through the Word of God producing a full, rich, Holy Spirit work in him, he becomes a wall. And the wall that he has a living city. And the city is a city of light. And he's on a mountain. And though he may be nothing in the world, but people come to him one at a time, and they feed at his wall. They feed from his faith. They feed from his love. They feed from his convictions. They feed from his life. Because his branches have overflowed the wall, and they enter into the living city of God as it's built in their own hearts from his. Amen.